coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk. Fox 56's Erin Dugan gives us her take on the Eagles, high school football, and Penn State, and thoughts on the Nittany Lions game against Rutgers this Saturday. We'll talk EPC football and hear from the defending District 11 3A champs on how their 2015 season is shaping up. Plus more high school football, NFL, and Major League Baseball topics. And yet another Rocky movie? These issues and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Brought to you by the Vinart Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Acura, Honda, Hyundai dealers.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. I'm Chris Michael. We have some special guests lined up for tonight's program. But first, let's introduce the co-host of the program and the man who, up until last week, claimed to be personal friends and Cody Parker's personal place-kicking coach. Now he denies he ever root for the Eagles in the first place, Mr. Joseph Linwood Cray. Joe, have you recovered from the Eagles loss on
Actually, I didn't take it too badly because I kind of, there was a side of me
you
that
had
thought,
your Super Bowl tickets for the Eagles.
This was too easy. You know, it was too easy, and I knew that there had to be a hitch. And I'll comment on that later on Joe's take, but it was things happen. These are the pros,
How
man.
How could there Nothing's be a hitch before the game even
Nothing's
started?
A sure
the season
thing.
Didn't start. You had all the time to prepare for Joe
I don't want to
Jones.
Get into it now, but I will later.
Duck the question. All right, let's lead off with our special guest on the phone lines. Erin Dugan, Fox, a sideline reporter, Fox 56 sports anchor, reporter, and show host, does a great job covering college, pro, and high school sports. Erin, welcome to RCN Sports Talk. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks. I'm ready to jump into some Eagles there. I'm all fired up after the
talk here. I was going to start with Penn State, though, too, because Joe's a homer here, and all his questions are slanted. But I want to start with Penn State because you spent a lot of time covering Penn State. You were up there over the summer. What was it like at the media day and getting ready for the season? And how did the Penn State and the players and the coaching staff look at this season and their expectations for this year coming in?
Well, as you can imagine, they were definitely all hyped up for this season, and there was a lot of good stuff going on. I mean, the whole thing they're supposed to work on is this offensive line. That's why that Temple loss just kind of everybody's minds were blown. How could this happen? How could 10 sacks happen? That was supposed to be what they figured out in the offseason with this offensive line. So, I mean, there was good feelings all around and generally a sense of we're going to get it done. But as you could see, I wouldn't say crumbled, but things kind of fell apart and things aren't looking the way that we thought they would.
Yeah. And they, of course, bounced back with a nice effort last week against Buffalo. And I'll get your thoughts on Rutgers in a minute. But these seniors have been through so much, both on and off the field. What was it like the first couple of weeks? It's been kind of like a roller coaster for them with that tough loss to open the season and then to come back with a win. What are the seniors' kind of mentality as they look at this season and after what they've been through and, you know, obviously looking for a strong finish for their college careers?
Yeah, I mean, they've been through so much coaching changes, injuries. I think they needed that win so much. And at halftime, it wasn't looking good. They really came out in the second half and kind of rallied around some new guys. Of course, Saquon Barkley coming out and showing his stuff. And he's looking to these seniors like, you know, I'll be in your shoes one day. And he had a great showing there. Freshman of the week, Big Ten.
Yep.
Yeah, Erin, hi. Joe Craig, it's really great to have you with us. Question for you, Saquon Barkley, being a local product from one of our local high schools, Whitehall High School here in the Lehigh Valley, had a great day, impressed a lot of people. And what are your thoughts on him? I don't know if you got to watch much of it, but to get an idea of what he was like. What other players that are new on the scene do you think showed up well against Buffalo?
Well, I mean, a lot of those guys came on. Paris Plummer came on and actually played pretty well. But Saquon Barkley, I mean, he really, really impressed me as a true freshman, I mean, to go out there and have that kind of a showing. But it's also credit to the offensive line getting their stuff together that second half, the first half, like I mentioned before.
Right.
You know, they weren't there. But once the offensive line really started to work together, opened some holes for him, he got things going. I mean, he got me off the couch. So I was excited to see him come alive, and good for him. And hopefully he can stay consistent And it wasn't just a flash in the pan, great game from him.
Yeah, people have to understand, too, that offensive line. I mean, there are a lot of young guys on that offensive line. It's going to, you know, you don't step right into a Division I program and dominate, especially on the offensive line. It's probably got the longest learning curve of any positions on the football team. So it's going to take some time. People have to understand that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, a lot of people are saying Coach Franklin, you know, calling for his job, and he's a better recruiter than he is a coach. But you got to give it time. You do have to relax and just kind of look back and say, hey, we'll work through this. And the talent's there, but sometimes it just needs to click and start working. And I think the Rutgers game will be good to see what happens for that game.
Well, and you also have to give some credit to the Temple team. I mean, they played a great game. You know, I mean, bottom line is that day they might have beat a lot of Division I teams.
That's true. They did play good. I'm not taking anything away from Temple.
Right.
They did play very well. I mean, 10 sacks, I haven't seen anything like that in a while.
Yeah.
Everyone was just kind of a head-scratcher. Just, wow.
Yeah. Aaron, you mentioned the Rutgers game. That's the next opponent. I know you're covering that game. What are some of your keys? What are you what will you be looking for in that game? And looking ahead on the schedule, what are some of the games to watch, and what are some of the matchups that most intrigue you the rest of the way for Penn State?
Well, with the Rutgers game, this is actually a great weekend to play Rutgers with everything that's going on right there. It's kind of a mess right now with their bunch of kids out with different problems. They're their best receivers out. Their coach suspended today 3 games on a $50,000 fine.
Yeah, that's right.
So things are really messy with Rutgers right now. So I think to go in, keep an even keel, keep your head about you, just kind of play the game, focus on football instead of all the other things going on. I think that'll be a key to the win. Also, communication, you know, with the offensive coordinator, just kind of getting things going with Hackenberg, protecting him, getting that run game going a little bit. And, I think it'll be an exciting rest of the season. And we'll see how things fare out with some of those other Big Ten teams. But, yeah, I will be at Rutgers, and I'm actually not covering it. I'm going as a fan, so I'm just going to relax and watch the game. That'll be fun for once.
Yeah, that is good. Our special guest, Aaron Dugan from Fox 56, sports anchor, reporter, and show host, sideline reporter for Fox as well. Just changing gears for a little bit, the Eagles. What was your expectations heading into the season as far as win total, and did that change based on what you saw on Monday night's game against Atlanta?
All right, so if you would have talked to me on Tuesday morning, I probably would have been a little bit different. But I've been thinking about it over the week, and I'm okay with what happened. I'm okay with the loss. I saw a lot of good things happen, especially in that second half. I didn't know what to expect from Bradford. I don't think a lot of people knew exactly what to expect. But in the second half, I saw some things I really, really liked from him. Obviously, there's got to be a run game. They got to get out to a better start against Dallas. But there's some good things in the offense I saw working. Now, defensively, I think that it's a great week for them to be playing Dallas with Des Bryant out because the secondary, I wouldn't say, is the best in the league with Philly. So it's kind of a good week for them to play Dallas. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Aaron. Do you think, just watching that game, it looked to me like people said they weren't prepared when the game started, you know, that the Eagles just weren't ready to play. I have a feeling it's a little more than that. Do you feel maybe that there was a little overconfidence going into the game where they thought, you know, they believed a little more of the things that were printed and said before the game, and maybe that took them a half to get that knocked out of them before they started to perform?
That's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't think they came in overconfident. I just think it, with some of those new faces out there, DeMarco Murray, Sam Bradford, I just think that they needed a little bit to get things going, to get the offense to click, to see how things were going to work. I don't think it was overconfidence, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're entitled to that opinion.
Sure. Thank you very much.
He's usually wrong with his opinion, but we let him have one.
Well, I always look at the psychological part of things at first. You know, having coached for so many years.
You look for excuses.
I know coaches. If you took 100 coaches and you'd tried to separate them, I'm going to tell you, there's not much difference between number 1 and number 100. It's usually a psychological thing, the way kids and teams are prepared mentally to play the game that makes the difference. I really, especially in the pro level, because everybody's good. Everybody's a professional.
Right, and they did have a great preseason. Excited about Aguilar.
Yeah.
A lot of guys had really good showings in preseason, but, you know, you come out there and the game, you know, and mean something,
right,
it's different. And that secondary, like I mentioned before, they came out a little rusty, but Julio Jones, he had an amazing game.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player, so
right.
I'm also taking that into consideration as well.
Okay.
Aaron, before we let you go, I know another one of the areas of expertise, you cover a lot of the high school football up to our west and north of our coverage area, teams that we'll quite frequently run into once we get to the state playoffs. So far this season, who are some of the teams and players that really have stuck out in your mind so far on the high school football level?
Well, actually, just last week we had a live game. Montoursville versus Lewisburg. This was actually a really good matchup. Montoursville's quarterback is Bryson Messina. He's the son of Mike Messina, the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going up against Lewisburg's Trent Gower. And this game actually came down to a final play call. Coach from Lewisburg went for it on fourth down and got the win. It was very exciting. But those two quarterbacks, I'm sure we're going to see them again in districts. Montoursville's Bryson Messina and Lewisburg's Trent Gower.
Right.
Really impressive. That's District 4. Moving over to District 2, Old Forge. Everywhere I've been going, Old Forge seem to be Class A. Been hearing great things. They have lots of kids back. And, of course, you always have your Scranton Prep, and your Dunmore will be right there. Dunmore, they've been known for their huge line, just a ground-and-pound kind of game. This year, their line isn't as big, so they're going to the passing a little bit. But they could be there at the end of the year because they're Dunmore, and they always do have a great program. Coach Jack Hensis always does a great job there.
Yeah. Aaron, thanks so much for your time and continued success.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's our pleasure.
Bye-bye now.
Aaron Dugan, Fox 56 sports anchor, reporter, and show host, and Fox sideline reporter joining us to lead off the program. Now, our special guest in studio tonight, the defending District 11 3A champions, led by head coach Joe Henrich, and joined for our first half of the program, Will Schroeder and Brandon Blobe. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in here and leaving practice just at the end, just to get here on time. So, Joe, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I know you don't want to look back too much on last year's success, but we want to kind of look back at the success you had last year. And I thought a very interesting playoff run. Saucon Valley surprised a lot of people during the year. They were a tough team to overcome, and you had tough teams to battle all through the state playoffs, including that Somerset team that I had never seen before, and yet myself, John Breidinger, did the game with me. We were very impressed with Somerset. Mm-hmm. Could you take us through that playoff run last year and the success? And I know it ended a little bit earlier than you would have liked.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, when you get into the playoffs, there's really only one team that completely ends happy, right, at each level. So it was an unfortunate way to end the season. But it was a great run, and I think the run last year was started before last year, you know, really with the year before that, and kind of coming off a 1-9 season, being able to get above the 500 mark and get into the playoffs and at least experience that. And I think that experience and that taste for these guys really kept them motivated to come back the next year and kind of propelled us into what we did last season. And then making that run, I think it was definitely a little different feeling being back in the playoffs, you know, and I think they were just totally set on getting further than where we had gotten the year before. And it really helped keep us focused and kind of, you know, pushing all the way till the end. And unfortunately, you know, we ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw there at the end of the year. But again, I think, you know, it's a learning experience for these guys as to what happened or where things may have went a little wrong to try to help us prepare as we continue to try to make that same kind of run this year.
I know you were very complimentary of the seniors in the previous years who went through the 1-9 teams and stuck with it and grinded things out. I want to ask you guys, how did you view those seniors, those guys that kind of kept the program together, went through those lean years and toughed it out, kept the program going, and then now you guys are taking advantage of it with back-to-back district titles and now, of course, I'm sure not a lot of success this year.
You know, they were always great role models. They set the example. They always worked hard, and they always tried to, you know, just make sure everyone was at their best all the times, and they just tried to always preach what Coach Henrich always says, and hard work, execution, making sure we know what we're doing, and just handling our business.
Were they the kind of kids, guys, as leaders, that's just set by example?
Yeah,
more
always,
than
always worked hard. They always tried to get us to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were different guys that led in different ways. You know, some of them were a little bit more quiet, and they just did things a certain way that you knew was the right way to do. Others were, you know, Ryan Johnson, he was a real vocal type of guy that you just wanted to emulate. But just all in all, you know, knowing the struggles that they went through and, you know, their standpoint, everything gave us a great, you know, great people to follow in their footsteps. They were great, great guys for us.
You know, you mentioned one of the linemen. I thought you had great linemen, and like Will Ward at linebacker and Leonardo, those guys, you could see they were excited. They were pumped. They weren't flamboyant, but you could see them slapping guys on the helmet and going out there. Were they good motivators? And was that something that you kind of learned maybe now as seniors that you're kind of more animated out there on the field?
Oh, they're phenomenal. You know, that makes such a difference when you're a game and people are all hyped up. You know, it's a very emotional game. Whoever has, you know, the peak of emotion mm-hmm. is typically going to be the team that's, you know, riding that out all the way to the end. And that's a big point. So having guys like that around you make you feel like that's what you want to do this year for the guys, because you know the effect it had on you. And, you know, if we can have that on our younger players and the rest of our teammates, it's going to do great things for us. So that's definitely a key point that we definitely picked up from them. It's huge during the game, just having someone there, you know, excited whenever you make a good play. And even more importantly, whenever things aren't going so well, then, you know, pick you up and say, hey, you know, it's all right. Let's, you know, keep grinding. Let's get after it. We're still in this game, you know. That's huge.
Is that something that you've kind of done well this year? You've taken over more of the leadership role and talking to kids?
Yeah, I'm not really a vocal guy. I like to just set the example, but sure. I'll talk if I have to talk. And when people make plays, I try to get them hype and make sure that they know they did good things.
Does that make your job easier when you have seniors that lead and, you know, instead of you saying something, the players themselves can kind of govern themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the ultimate thing is, and I've stressed since the day we got there, it's not my program, it's their program. You know, all I'm trying to do is provide them a framework and a pathway to get where they want to go. And I sit with the captains when they're elected and talk to them about what the captaincy means. And, you know, one of those things is they have to basically be the coach's right hand. You know, they need to continue to echo the things, the mantra, the goals, the pathway, the expectations. And the better job they do at it, of course, it makes the job easier for coaches. And ultimately, I think players want to be more responsible to their teammates, mm-hmm. You know, more so necessarily than a coach.
Yep. Now, Joe, you mentioned learn from last year. So I want to ask the players, what things did you learn from last year? What kind of bumps in the road from last year's team did you say, all right, this is something we want to make sure doesn't happen this year?
Yeah, you know, when things get tough, the biggest thing is to just stay together. And I felt like last year against Somerset, we were down 10-0 at the half and we just fell apart. You know, people weren't working as a team. People didn't trust each other. I think the biggest thing is just holding the team together this year and mm-hmm. just riding out for each other.
Yeah, because you had, I mean, just about everything went wrong in that first half as far as you had injuries. There was a couple calls. There was a ball bounce that didn't go your way.
Yeah.
Everything that could have gone wrong in that first half did, and you still had a chance to
hang only 10. It was only 10-0.
Yeah.
You know, with the explosive team you had, 10 points is like, you know, that's two plays and – it could be 14-10.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the attitudes and things of that sort, would you guys agree that confidence, as you gain confidence, in, I think in high school more than any other level, confidence and emotion are the big factors. You know, it's not as much of a business-like atmosphere as it is emotion. And high school's all emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But you started off last year with a big win over an inner-city rival, and everybody knew that was going to be two really good teams facing each other, and you got a great win. Did that kind of set you off on that run that you made, knowing that, you know, you had that big emotional win?
It did to a certain degree, but, you know, and we were certainly confident at that point, but we were humbled pretty quickly, you know, once the Stroudsburg game came around. Yeah. The Pleasant Valley, too, you know, that game, you know, we were lucky to have an extended halftime. Who knows? We had a lot of time to regroup, and luckily we did, and that's certainly something that's important to do, obviously, sure, as well, to always be able to regroup. But, you know, yeah, we were definitely humbled quickly whenever that happened, and, you know, that carried us out for the rest of the season. But, yeah, confidence is huge until it gets to the point where it's too much, you know.
Well, you know, you played that – it's interesting. You played that Stroudsburg team, and we know how disappointing that was. But that turned out to be a pretty good football team. I mean, Stroudsburg, they were. I thought they were one of the best three teams I saw all year in the league.
Yeah,
So you didn't. It was nothing embarrassing having a game like that against Stroudsburg.
No, it was just sad. It was kind of disappointing, but we just got back and worked hard the next week.
Yeah, and then you rolled. I mean, after that, you guys played great.
I have to give you credit. Because we had a bet before the show that he was going to mention Liberty at least six times
it.
On the show. And he said,
I didn't say what
I'm not
said.
Gonna
big
say,
city
you said
game.
The city
that's
rivalry.
All I said.
You said this team and a team right across the board.
I
have to give you credit.
Am I right? I didn't say it.
No,
and it was a great win for you guys. It was just a great win.
All right, well, coming into this year then, you know, we talked about you kind of take over a leadership role as seniors. But, you know, this is your last time through. Did you look at the double sessions? Did you look at the first game that this is the last, you know, season opener? Mm-hmm. Does it feel a little bit different when you're coming into your senior season?
It's totally different. You know, every single scenario is, like you said, it's your last time. You know, I was at 2 days like, wow, this is the last time I'll ever do a high school double session in my life, you know. The first game of the year, this is the last time I'll ever, you know, this is my last first game and my last chance to play Liberty, obviously. So, you know, it really gives you the type of mindset just to take full advantage of everything as best as you possibly can.
Yeah.
You know, in high school you have 4 years and it's always kind of like, oh, you know, I got next year, you know, there is no next year.
Yeah.
So it just gives you that mindset to just lay it on the line, give everything you got because, you know, there's no better feeling than walking away from this year just knowing that, you know, we achieved great things because we gave it everything we got and we don't have any regrets. You know, that'd be a horrible thing to have to say, well, we could have done this, could have done that. You know, I don't want to have to look back on my senior year as a negative experience. You know, I want it to be as positive as it can be, and that is in our control to do, so.
Yeah, and it's great you realize that now because we've had people on this show or I've interviewed people at the end of the season, whether they've won or lost, kind of look back and say, wow, my high school career is over. It's over. And, you know, maybe even though we won a district title or a league title, maybe I didn't enjoy it as much as I could have because I didn't really approach it that this was going to be the last time. Will, did it feel special for you individually heading into that first season, the last season opener, the first game of the year?
Yeah, it was a special thing. It just makes you realize that everything, you know, everything goes quick.
Yeah, and I got news for you guys. As you get older, it's going to go
goes quicker. Faster.
It goes quicker.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it really does. Yeah.
I think one point, piggybacking on that, that's important that we try to stress all the time is, you know, obviously we have an end goal, but you can't just go from A to F. You know, you have to take every step in between and enjoy that journey, enjoy that path. And not just try to look at the end all the time of where you want to get, especially after the last 2 years of accomplishing what we've accomplished, is there's so much more that goes before that moment that we want to make sure that we embrace and that we take care of.
Yeah, and you know, you guys, you're in a school where the school atmosphere and the community and all of the people who support Bethlehem Catholic are all so tight. Enjoy it because it's never going to be like that anywhere else. You know, as you go into college and you grow up and you get into the business, there's never going to be the closeness that you have as high school football players. Never. The rest of your life. So
you're very depressing all of a sudden.
Well, no, it's a fact of life. It's a fact of life. And I think a lot of young people don't realize it until it's gone by them. Then they say, gee whiz, I wish I would have realized. But that's the truth.
All right, I'm feeling pretty old. We're going to take a break here and come back and talk more about this season and some other issues with Bethlehem Catholic and the football program, the defending District 11 3A champs, two-time defending District 11 3A champs. We also have the trivia, plus more members of the Bethlehem Catholic Golden Hawks team will be joining us on our show and the roundtable later in our program. So stay with us. We'll be back with more of tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk.
So here's your chance to have an impact on our show. If you're watching us during our live Thursday show airing, you can call us from anywhere free of charge by dialing 1-844-234-4488. Send us your comments, questions, and opinions or ideas for future shows right now or at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might just read and respond to your comments on tonight's show or on a future episode. You can also get even more sports conversations, videos, sports highlights, and commentaries by checking out our sports blog at rcn.com/rcntv. Feel free to bookmark our blogs and check back often for updates. And stay tuned. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk is coming your way in just a moment.
This is the RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. You can also call the show directly by dialing 1-844-234-4488 when the show airs live on Thursday evenings, starting at 7 p.m. on RCN TV. The number again is 1-844-234-4488 between 7 and 7:55 p.m. on Thursdays. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk podcast resumes in 60 seconds.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our in-studio guests are Joe Henrich and members of the defending District 11 3A champions. Joining us here for this segment as well as the first, Will Schroeder and Brandon Blobe, with some other players waiting in the wings to join us later in our program. Joe, you're not going to be downing the whole show.
Why am I downing?
Well, first of all, you've been telling me you're 39, and now you've just revealed to me that you're 72.
39. Which I have calluses that are 50. Good Lord.
All right, because we want to turn the conversation back to football.
Okay, let's do that.
All right. Well, first we have the trivia, though, so we'll do that.
Okay.
All right, time for the trivia question tonight. Let people at home give them a chance to win tonight's prize. Joe, I think you're going to like tonight's question here. It's a tough one. Name the three states with the most NFL Hall of Famers that were born there. Name the three most popular birthplace states for NFL Hall of Famers. You have to have all three states correctly identified in order to win tonight's prize. Speaking of the prize, here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
Welcome back to RCS. Now how old are you, Joe?
Now you have me 265. I don't know.
You were the one saying you founded California. All right. Let's get back to football. I want to ask these guys about defense, because the thing that impressed me last year, everyone was looking at your offense last year. Defense, you had guys flying around. And numbers-wise, you were not as big as a lot of the other teams in the EPC. How do you approach, you know, you don't have the depth numbers-wise but on defense, but you just seem to have this swarming defense. And I think we saw you five or six times last year. And your defense, I don't think, got nearly enough credit. So talk a little bit about approaching defense and how much pride you put on your defense.
Yeah, we just got to give it all to Coach Henrich. He's always preaching about running to the ball, being physical, being fast, you know, never giving up on a play. He always preaches that. So we just try and do that in practice and take it to the game.
Brandon, would you agree? It's
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge emphasis during our practice. You know, try to simulate as like a game as much as you can. You know, always running to the ball, being there, the whole team. You know, because in a game, that's what makes the difference. And, you know, we've seen it on film whenever we have failed to do that, you know, what the consequences are. So certainly, you know, as much as we can minimize that, it makes a big difference. And it can make up for a lot of that skill that, that certainly isn't there. You know, the best teams, that's what they do. And you see it especially, you know, whenever you're watching pro football, you know, these guys are, I mean, you got, and whatever position they're at, you got linemen, they're coming down anywhere. I mean, from across the field, you see the effort is there, and it makes a huge, huge difference. It can make up for a lot of things, even if you, you know, make a mistake or whatever, it can make up for
it. And intelligence, you know, knowing, a lot of times you can make up for the lack of athletic ability by being in the right place, reading the right thing, and reacting the proper way, even though you may not have the speed that the other guy has. And that makes, and defensively, that makes a huge difference, especially in the secondary.
Yeah, well, that just comes with being, you know, a student of the sport and making sure that you're really scouting out who you're going to play and you're seeing, you know, their tendencies and things of that nature. And if you do that again, yeah, you can give yourself a huge advantage, even if you're not the biggest, most athletic kid in the world.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, I mean, I keep going back to the linebackers last year. We'd have, you have one linebacker lined up on one side, he'd be over making the tackle on the other side. It just seemed that, you know, you had guys flying all over the place too. So that's impressive. And speaking of defense too, I want to ask you about the team that's in Bethlehem, that's not Freedom, since I'm not allowed to say their name. In that first game, we've had several people on the show say Doug Ernie is the best quarterback in the area. I think you guys did a great job holding them. You stopped the run. You came back and made that a ball game after they had gotten out to a big lead. Yeah. How did you kind of approach being down by a lot and then bouncing back, holding them, and then making a turning it into a one-score game?
That's a hot question. Before they answer that, while you're thinking about an answer, I will tell you this.
Yes.
Bethlehem's three high schools have three of the best quarterbacks, no question, in this part of the state. All three of them. And I mean, we got one of them here with us tonight, and he's probably the best, if not, he's certainly right there, 1A, 1B, whatever it is. So Julian Spigner, I mean, we've been following him for a couple of years now, but we've been very fortunate in Bethlehem.
I can start off for him while they're, if they're still thinking. You know, we didn't play our style of defense in the beginning of that game. Why, I don't know. You know, you can't always come up with an answer for it.
Well, that's a very good offensive team.
It is, but the reality of the situation is that we were not, and as Brandon just pointed out, and we watched film, you know, we were not running to the ball the way we have come to expect in our program. We had failed at some execution of things, and then there were other plays, of course, that Ernie just made happen because he is that good.
Third and long.
So those you can live with, but the ones that you give to him are ones you can't live with, and there were certainly a few of those in there. And I think, you know, sometimes it just takes a regrouping. You know, and halftime can afford you that opportunity sometimes to regroup, re-energize, and refocus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was very proud of them for the fact that they did that. And I think that carried over into this past week of playing. Yep. So I don't know what their perspective was, but.
Yeah. Anything to add? We got a phone call, actually.
That's a tough question.
Let's go to the phone lines. Joe from Bethlehem wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Joe, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
Hello, Joe.
I'd like to, guess the.
Okay.
Okay. We need three states. We won't say either way till you say all three.
California, Ohio, and Pennsylvania.
Incorrect. No hints.
Two out of three, maybe. Right. But we won't. We're not going to tell you which two.
I just said no hints. I said before the
show.
Well,
Joe, he's done.
I wrote no hints on your script here. No hints. Sorry. Good guess, Joe. All right. Anything? You have a question for us, or was that it?
I think that was it.
Joe, I'm begging you, please take him off. You need another assistant coach on your staff. You said no hints.
Well, it could have been any of the two. Which two.
Trivia question once again. We need three states, all three states, correctly, that have the most NFL Hall of Famers that were born there. Quick news. I just want to mention this too. Six classifications for people who did not see. It moved to the next stage. And actually, Jason Zimmerman was on the show several months ago. Thought if it happens, he thought in order, there's a 2-year cycle. he thought it wouldn't happen for a couple years down the road. There's talk now that it might happen as early as next season. So I just want to get your thoughts, because you're right in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And for people who didn't hear, they're looking at six classifications. It would still be based on male enrollment. They would just spread out the divisions. So as opposed to 2A being between X and Y and 3A between Y and Z, they would spread those.
What's
the numbers
your reaction
out.
To that?
My opinion is, I think it's a good thing. I think we have so many football-playing schools. When you look at all the statistics, that they really did a great job of gathering information, comparing to other states, and really taking a look at, we're one of the only, if not the only, that has the many schools that we have that only has four classifications. I know that it'll reduce a week in the season, but still allow for the same amount, if not more, qualifiers to the playoffs, which ultimately that's what they always talk about. And why they originally went to a longer season was to try to give more kids the opportunity to compete for a playoff system. So I think it does that. And I think the last thing that it does is really there is a lot of disparity in the certain levels, you know, where you have teams, especially in 4A, you know, that are right on the brink of that 3A, 4A, and then you have 4A schools that are just humongous. And, you know, I think it'll just spread it out a little bit. I think it'll level the playing field to some degree. And at the same time, it'll give more teams that hope of really having the opportunity to make it to the playoffs, because it really is a great experience. I mean, to be able to do that in your time of playing, to make it to that level.
All right. Before we let these guys go, we want to play a quick game of thumbs up, thumbs down with them and ask them to identify someone in the sports world that deserves some congratulations or something, or someone in the sports world who needs a thumbs down for doing something not so nice. Joe, we'll start this one off.
Thumbs down to the Philadelphia Eagles for being maybe as disappointing an opening game as they could have possibly put together.
I thought you were holding your emotions in check.
No,
you were 25 minutes ago.
I'm just saying that's a thumbs down. They let a lot of people down that last Monday night.
All right. Coach Henrich, who would you like to give a thumbs up or thumbs down to?
My thumbs up is to our team. You know, after a very, very difficult loss, you know, to the first game of the year against a big rival, in kind of the fashion that it was, number one, lose, you know, being down and then racing back and almost getting there, to bounce back and do what we did this past week. And then we've probably had our best week of practice we've had yet. So not to jinx the upcoming thing, but I'm really just proud of them, and a thumbs up to them for handling the adversity the way they have.
Very good. Brandon, how about you?
I'd like to give a thumbs up and a shout out to our water girls, Amanda, Becca, and Maddie, for everything that they do for us. You know, they deserve a lot of appreciation, so now's a good time to do that.
Yeah, especially early in the season when
it's
still
human. That's a good one.
Yeah, carrying those heavy gay red, you know, things out there. They're always there no matter how early or how late we're practicing. So.
Very good. Will, how about you?
Yeah, I want to give a thumbs up to Tony, the equipment manager. You know, he's always there for us, and we really appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for all that you do.
All right. And I'm going to go last, because I want to give a thumbs down, a collective thumbs down, to any city that continues to have taxpayers' money fit the bill for stadiums and arenas and all those ballparks, and a double thumbs down to the city of Washington, not for an arena, not for a stadium, but for a practice facility that is going major dollars for taxpayer dollars. The Wizards are only putting up a small amount for the practice facility. We're talking about practice, for crying out loud. Don't use taxpayers' dollars for a practice facility, let alone one for the Washington Wizards. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm going to calm down. We'll be back with more of tonight's RCN Sports Talk Show. We have some callers on the line as well that we'll get to. And again, tonight's question, looking for the three states that have the most NFL Hall of Famers that were born there. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk Show right after this.
This is the RCN Sports Talk Podcast. Interact with us by sending us your sports comments, questions, and opinions right now or anytime via email to rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we may read and respond to your emails on an upcoming program. That's rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Give and get sports opinions by visiting our sports blogs at rcn.com/rcntv, where you can also get updates on sports news and features on teams in the RCN coverage area. Stay tuned. The RCN Sports Talk Podcast resumes in 60 seconds. We'll be right back. RCN Sports Talk podcast continues in just seconds. Don't forget, you can send us your feedback and sports comments and questions at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. Or speak with us directly on air during the program's live airing on RCN TV starting at 7 p.m. on Thursday evenings at 1-844-234-4488. Now, here's more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Back to RCN Sports Talk. We're talking with the District 11 3A defending champs, the Bethlehem Catholic Golden Hawks. Joe Henrich, kind enough to be with us for the entire program, and we'd like to welcome in this segment the quarterback, Julian Spigner, and also star wide receiver, E.J. Finneran. Gentlemen, thanks for coming in here, having some fun during the commercial breaks.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
The kids are all tall.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm impressed. I mean, you must really feel tiny.
I'm taller than you are. What are you talking about?
No, I'm not.
Yes, I am. Okay. Just go in the back. We'll compare notes.
You have a lot more hair on it.
By the way, people on the phone lines, we'll get to you in just a second. I just want to introduce these guys and bring them up to speed here. Real quickly, your thoughts on last year and kind of taking over the leadership role. And Julian, we'll start with you. Joe's already proclaimed you as the top quarterback in the areas, which is not a good sign because usually he jinxes someone and then, you know, you know, watch, don't step on a crack here as you're walking out the door here. But obviously you've heard those similar type of comments now for several weeks. So your thoughts on the season and about all the individual accomplishments?
Well, first of all, I'd say thank you, Mr. Craig, for that compliment.
That's only because I know you and I know your grandfather very well.
Yeah, he'll take credit for teaching you how to throw, too, after the show.
But as far as, like, stepping up into the senior leadership role, I think the seniors last year did a great job paving out the way. Like, a couple of the names mentioned, Ryan Johnson, Mike Italiani, Dante Leonardo, like they all just kind of set the standard for us, and our job is just to kind of carry out the legacy that they set forward.
Yeah. And EJ, last year I know a lot of defensive coordinators early in the season were talking about you have to stop Freddie Simmons. As the season went on, and more coordinators were, we got to stop EJ. We got to really contain him. If he burns us a couple times, we're finished. So you've obviously been drawing a lot of praise too. So how do you take that, and you know how do you see this season unfolding?
I'm going to go back to the topic where you're talking about leadership.
Sure.
Because that's very important to me. Even my sophomore year and junior year, I know I wasn't a senior and I didn't have the role as other seniors did on the team, but I always felt like I had to, I didn't have to do it, but like I always felt like leadership was a big thing to the team. And that's why this year to me, I've been trying my best to like stick in the role and say what I have to say and like, if anyone on the team is doing something they shouldn't be doing and acting up or anything, I try to get on them because this is, like you said, this is the last year, and I honestly, I don't want anything else but to, you know, get the state championship, and that's going to take a lot of, like, leadership and stuff like that. So I just try to do my best on that, and for this year, I feel like we have a really good team, and we basically, like Coach Henry said, we're basically trying to go farther than we did last year, and I feel like we have exactly what we need to do that, and I feel actually that we actually probably could do it even better this year because we have a lot of, like you said, we have a lot of like senior leaders that are actually very vocal and they feel like they need to do something this year.
Well, that's great to have four seniors that all feel that way. Yeah. Usually you have one that's kind of a little screwy out there, but now we've got four guys that have had their heads screwed on right. Before we continue, let's go back to the phone lines. Several people wants to take a shot at our trivia question, no doubt from Joe's big hint that he left before the break. Let's go first to Northampton in this segment. Dwight from Northampton, welcome to RCN Sports Talk. Make sure you turn the volume down on your TV so you don't have the delay.
Go ahead, Dwight. What do you got for us?
Pennsylvania, Florida, and Alabama.
I'm sorry. What was that again?
Pennsylvania.
PA. Pennsylvania.
Florida.
Florida.
in Alabama.
In Alabama.
That is incorrect, sir. And no hints.
Good try. Good try, Dwight.
Good try. Yep.
Not right, though.
Thanks for playing, Dwight.
Thank you.
All right, one more caller here. Let's try
Terry.
To squeeze in Terry.
Yeah, Terry from Whitehall.
Terry from Whitehall, yes. Terry, you're
Hi, right. How you doing?
Good, Terry.
Good, how are you?
Go ahead. You got a guess for us?
I want to take a shot. Is it PA, Texas, and Ohio?
You got it.
You got it on
Not
the
Not quite in the right order, but you got all three states. Pennsylvania, Texas, and Ohio.
Do you know which one has the most?
I was just there Tuesday. That's how I know it.
Yeah. The most is going to come.
Pennsylvania?
You're right.
No, they roll in the 20s.
Yep. Pennsylvania.
Are you going to throw in an extra prize now since you asked
Pennsylvania's got the most. And that's
Texas?
Interesting.
Ohio second.
Outstanding. Texas. Very good.
All right, Terry, nice job. We'll be in contact with you after the show about the prize.
Yeah, it helps being here. I was just there on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's good.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
All right, continue our conversation with the Bethlehem Catholic football team. We're going to get to the roundtable segment in just a minute here. But Antoine Keenan, I want to ask you about him. Set a school record last week, tied with five. Julian's laughing already. I'm not sure what's coming here. I really have no idea what's coming here. Antoine Keenan, five touchdowns, tied a school record last week. Joe, you said he only touched the ball 10 times last week. So obviously that was a big honor, and I think I have a feeling a lot of you guys are going to start racking up some school honors and some all-time accomplishments here. But, I mean, I remember, Coach, you told me, I think, as a sophomore, he's a special kid. How do you all coexist? You got all these speed guys, all these skilled guys, and, you know, as a quarterback, you have to make it all work. So how do you kind of work out that chemistry?
I mean, it's definitely good to have Twan on the team because he's just a great running back and he draws so much attention from the other, like the interior and exterior defenders. And then it makes, like, my job easier to get EJ the ball because people kind of focus in on Antoine. And then they just kind of forget about who you're going to stop and they just have to kind of pick your poison.
Yeah. And EJ, how does that relationship go between the running backs and the wide receivers? Because you both are very talented. I mean, last year you'd have games in which, Joe, you'd run the ball a little bit more. Sometimes you'd pass a little bit more. But really, there's a great balance offensively.
Yeah, well, he got my back and I have his back. That's how it goes with us. Like, he told me the day that we played Pleasant Valley, he said, I'm gonna do something special tonight. And I was laughing at the lunch table, and I was like, all right, we'll see. Because he was saying he's going to do the same thing at Liberty. So he ended up breaking the record, and I couldn't say anything to him the next day, so I was like, you got it. But it makes it easier because, like you said, if he breaks a big run or something, it makes it easier on me, like, because the play before I'm blocking for him, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, and I have to go out and run a route full speed, and it just goes back and back. We help each other out, and that's basically all that matters, really.
Has that been tough to kind of work the chemistry? Because you've been a quarterback now for 3 years at the varsity level, and you know, you have to develop chemistry with your receivers and your running backs and the exchange and so forth. Is that kind of a fun aspect to being the quarterback?
It's definitely fun because I just get to be close with everybody. Like, as you said, like, chemistry, like, we're all pretty close. Like, I think we're, like, a close group of guys. So once we got past the fact that, like, we all came, like, from a different area, like, we just started to, like, blend together and build more of, like, a relationship through that.
And I'll just add on to that. I actually feel like that made us even closer, being from somewhere else. Because everyone has their side comments, oh, you guys go to Beckett for this, that, and third. And I just feel like you don't know what you're talking about. Like, we're real close. Like, we love each other. And that's why I feel like we're also a really good football team. Because in the huddle before we break out and we run on the field, we always say something. Like, we have our own speeches. And we definitely hit some spots when we talk. And it definitely brings the intensity for the game. So
you got to have that chemistry. And, you know, as a head coach, you have to mix all that chemistry and make sure everything works. You know, the most talented team on the field, and yet doesn't always translate to wins.
Absolutely. And they have to be unselfish. You can't have a kid in a system and have a team be the most successful if you have one kid who has to demand the ball all the time. You know, the fact that, you know, Nate Stewart and EJ will block for Antoine, and then when it's a pass play, Antoine has to block for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's something that we've continued to emphasize, is that if you want the ball, you need to do what you have to do when you don't have the ball. Yeah. And it's a team effort. And I think these guys, I mean, EJ is one of the best blocking receivers there is. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't get noticed by anybody, except for when a big run is taken and they think it's all the running back. Yeah. You know, those things don't get seen. And I think that's where those guys really do feed off of each other.
All right, ready to play the roundtable?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's fire a few questions at our special guest here in studio. The roundtable is where we have a variety of local and national sports issues that we throw at our panelists. They do not know what's coming prior to their arrival in the studio. And as always, we look forward to an entertaining exchange of thoughts and opinions on these different topics. Topic number one, we stay local and ask you for your favorite venue to play in among the Northern Division teams, because you get to go up, and I know you haven't been to all the Northern sites as of yet. This is the second time through the new league. So, EJ, we'll start with you. What are the Northern schools in the division, favorite place to play?
I'm going to have to say JBC.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know. For some reason, when I'm on the field, I look over to the sideline, I look over to the coaches whenever we're home. I just like, wow, like, you see everyone on the sideline. You see everyone from both sides, of the, like, both teams, chanting and cheering. It's just a great scene on the field, and especially when it's a like real close game or real intense game, and you know some other players on the opposite team. It's just, I don't know, for some reason playing in that stadium with the bright lights on you, it's just a great feeling, so I like playing that
stadium. That's Jay Bernie Crum.
Yeah, you know. Jay Bernie Crum, yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with EJ and say Jay Bernie Crum as well, just because the fact that we play our state playoff games there, it makes it more of like a just a bigger scene to be playing football, and I do enjoy that.
Yeah. Coach Henrich?
We have not been there this year yet. I've been there before. I'm looking forward to going up to the Purple Pit up at East Stroudsburg South. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's always kind of been a neat little different type of atmosphere.
Yeah. Joey, what's your favorite?
I would have said the Purple Pit too, but I'll put a plug in for Frank Banco Field, Bethlehem School District Stadium. I think it's one of the best places to play. The sight lines, everything's good. Locker rooms are good, and the crowds are always good. So I think that's as good as any of them.
And what are the three schools who play there?
Well, you know who they are. The Bethlehem schools, best high school football in eastern Pennsylvania, played right there in Bethlehem.
What are the schools' names?
And you could throw Notre Dame in, which is right there,
what
too.
What are the schools' names? Forget it. Time for Joe's take.
The interesting point of it is, though, we're saying Northern, right? But yet those two stadiums are actually in the southern part.
And that's a subject we ought to have sometime. We'll talk about that one.
You know, we could. Unfortunately, according to our script, it's time for Joe's take. And that's where Joe demands 60 seconds to talk about whatever he wants to talk about going on in the world of sports. We're not allowed to interrupt him because he's just an egomaniac. There you go. Take
despite,
it away, Mr. Craig.
Despite what Aaron said, don't believe everything you read. Just ask the Eagles. I suspect they thought that Atlanta was going to fold up and cower when the Eagles stepped on the field this past Monday night. And it didn't happen that way. And I would say lesson learned, let's find out. That's Joe's take.
All right. We'll be back with more of tonight's special guests on RCN Sports Talk in just one moment.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. To the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
our program. Our guests in studio tonight, Joe Henrich and members of the Bethlehem Catholic football team, joined this segment once again by E.J. Finneran and Julian Spigner. Playing the round table, these guys have taken over. They've gotten rid of my Rocky question, which I was dying to ask about.
Because right,
I
want to
see if Rocky still cares about it. All right, we're going to skip ahead to a different question here. An individual matchup that you are most excited about this fall. Julian, we'll start with you. An individual matchup you're excited about.
I'd say I'm probably most excited about a rematch against Stroudsburg just because of what happened last year. Mm-hmm. And I think they're a good team, and I'm ready to get another chance to go out there and play against them.
Yeah, you have to go up to their place this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. EJ, how about you? Individual matchup.
Stroudsburg's a good one, but I'm going to have to go with Central because that's a Catholic school rival game, and yeah, I have a couple players on the, like, I know a couple kids on that team that I hang out with a lot on a daily basis, so I have a couple of bets up on that game, too. So,
yeah. All for fun, though.
All for fun. Yeah. For fun.
Marbles or something
like
that.
Yeah.
And Central has improved. I saw that. I was impressed by that.
Coach, how about you? How about you?
Well, I'm going to stretch the question a little bit if I can.
Sure.
Because I think these two guys hit it head on. So I'm gonna say a wishful, something we're not guaranteed. I'd like to play Somerset again.
I was just going to say, I bet you're going to say Somerset. Yeah, yeah, down the road.
You know, it doesn't quite answer the question. I stretched it a little bit. But
I would like to see it too.
I would like that to happen.
Yeah, because, again, not to make excuses, so many things were screwy in that first half. Yeah. It just seemed very weird.
Get to the second question so they have
You
time.
Just interrupted me. I can't.
Let's go.
Stop interrupting me. All right, last question here. Cowboys, Eagles, or Redskins, Rams? Pick one of those matchups. And tell us who's going to win. EJ, we got to start with you because you were bragging you know the answer to this question.
Well, I'm going to have to go with the Cowboys.
Cowboys?
I'm just going to have to go with the Cowboys. And for the Redskins and Rams game, I'm going to have to go with the Rams.
The Rams, okay.
They're playing pretty well. They just beat Seattle.
You just stuck a dagger to the heart of Joe Craig. I cannot thank you enough for that answer. Julian, how about you?
I'm definitely going to have to go with the Eagles because I know Chip Kelly and the Sam Bradford offense are going to work. This week.
You got to like that offense. That hurt.
Oh, I do enjoy watching.
For you,
the
that's
offense,
an ideal.
Yeah.
You got to be running that offense.
Coach Henrich, how about you?
I install that.
Yeah, I always said I like Julian better than EJ, and this is why. I mean, it's the Eagles all the way.
All right. Oh, Rams are going to crush. No, I shouldn't say that. I think the Rams should beat the Redskins, although I'd like to see the Redskins win. I want the Eastern Division teams to always win, believe it or not.
What?
I root for
they
play Giants.
Half the year.
No,
how
when they play other teams, I always root for the Redskins, the Giants, and Dallas.
All right, Stone Cold Lock prediction always time. This is where our guests guarantee something in the world comes true in the world of sports. It can be local, regional, or national. Only 30 seconds, but real quick, right down the list. EJ, Stone Cold Lock.
Can you repeat the question one more time?
Guarantee something that will come true in sports. Joe, you went over this ahead of time.
Giants winning the Super Bowl.
Giants win the Super Bowl. Julian.
I guarantee you that the Eagles will beat the Cowboys.
All right. Whoa! Upping the ante there, Coach Henrich.
Oh, boy. I'm going to stay away from some things. I'm going to say that the Eagles will be in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl. Joe's already bought his tickets. Real quick, 5 seconds.
Parkland will win the 4A.
You're going away on a limb. My thanks to Joe Henrich and all of the special guests on our program. Aaron Dugan as well from Fox Sports. And we'll see you again next week live on our Thursday night edition of RCN Sports Talk. Don't forget to tune in Friday for Joe and Dennis at 6:30 as well. Good night, everyone.